Shanti, that was a lovely, lovely welcome. Thank you so much to the Russian sisters. Thank you for the lovely dance. And that was our very heartwarming welcome for our two lovely angels here. So very good evening, everyone. Om Shanti. And on behalf of all of you, everyone, we would like to welcome our two lovely angels with a small bouquet of flowers from all of you to Sister Jayanti. And also from all of you to another sweet angel, Sister Suman. Thank you. So last night we heard the lovely Muli from Avyat Bhak Dada, reminding us to do Mansa Seva, to make the elements Satukuni pure, to give good wishes and pure feelings to everyone constantly, and also something relevant to the theme, the beautiful theme, perform the dance of harmonizing sanskars. And I can see that all of us have danced beautifully in harmonizing sanskars. And this evening, we are so fortunate to have in the midst of us two lovely angels, Sister Jayanti and Sister Suman. I think both of them need no introduction, as we have seen them so often, especially Sister Jayanti with her soft, gentle voice, her royal nature. She's been sharing so much wisdom with so much insight and depth. And so thank you for that and welcome too. And also every morning, without fail, who do you see first after the Muli? Our sweet, lovely angel with her angelic voice every morning welcoming us with that lovely angelic presence, giving us announcements and many other information. So thank you so much and very warm welcome. Today Didi is going to share with us other insights again. In between the Muli, she's going to revise the Muli with us and also with heartfelt conversation with Sister Suman. So let us put our hands, wave our hands to welcome them again. Thank you so much. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Thank you to the sisters, especially the little sister who danced and sang so beautifully, but all the sisters who sang, who danced. And thank you to Celia. She actually gave you a very lovely 3-line summary of the whole Murli. So that was very good. I want to give you a little bit of background. Two stories, one a bhakti story and one a gyan story. The bhakti story says that the celebration of Holi took place when there was a king. His name is a long one, you don't have to remember his name, Hiranyakashipu, and he proclaimed himself as God, and no one should take God's name except mention him as God. And his own son reacted to this and challenged his father. Long story, but a short version. The aunt, the father's sister, also got very angry with this child who was challenging this authority of the parent and the king. And so she had a blessing that she could be surrounded by flames, be in a fire, and no harm would come to her. And so she took the child in her lap and they had a bonfire and nothing happened to the child at all. And so in India they have a custom of the burning of Holika. And in Rajasthan they take it a step further. They don't just have bonfires in different places, but they have bonfires in the middle of the road so that you then pay a tax before they let you through. So that used to happen in Rajasthan, very much so, but I'm not sure whether that still continues or that's been stopped. But then finally, the blessing that the king had was that nobody could kill him except he would be killed by someone who was neither a human nor an animal. He was neither in the night nor in the day. He would neither be inside nor outside. So the blessing seemed to cover everything and make him immortal. But somehow then it happened that God intervened, and God came in the form of half human, half lion. And it was neither the day nor the night. Guess what it was? It was Sangam. And then it was neither inside nor outside. It was the in-between period between the end and the beginning. And so a memorial of someone challenging anyone who says, I'm God, and God's protection for that child. And then the next day, they have the colouring, because the first day the burning, and the second day the colouring, and that's the and then the Bhakti version also says that that's the day when you forgive your enemies and you hug each other and share sweets together. And then that's the Bhakti version. And it's an incredibly complicated story, but I've given you a sort of little gist of it. And this is why singing and dancing is very much associated with Holi. Colouring you know about. But the other thing is that during the beggary period, when there was nothing to eat, the sisters had gone out on service, and Baba sent a letter to all the sisters who had gone out on service, come back to Madhuban for a holy celebration. And people wondered, how is it going to be possible? But of course they wanted to come back to Madhuban, so they came back to Madhuban, they were there. And the day before Holi, they don't even have enough to eat. So who's going to celebrate? How are they going to have roses and rose water, which is the original way Holi was celebrated? And how are they going to make jalebis, the sweets? And according to drama, there was a very new student in Delhi. And when he'd heard that Baba was here, Baba had come to meet his children, Shiv Baba, he decided that he wanted to celebrate Holi with Baba. And so he brought a basket full of red roses and all the goodies connected with the festival. And he came and he arrived the morning of Holi. And so Baba smiled and said, yes, of course, how can Baba not celebrate Holi with his children? So the first story is the Bhakti one, the second story is the real one in Gyan. So can you imagine the love with which Baba celebrated Holi, and especially calling everyone? And on an external level there was nothing. But Shiv Baba knows what he's doing, can't challenge Shiv Baba. When they came from Karachi to India, again Shiv Baba knew exactly what was going to happen in Pakistan, that there would be a military dictatorship and service would not be possible. And so Baba brought everyone to India. So many examples of how Shiv Baba's directions have always protected the yagya and helped the yagya move further and further. And I'm sure you've heard many other stories, but truly God's presence, God's intervention. So yesterday night when Baba was saying that I'll always be with you, you have to be with Baba. Keep Baba as your companion from the moment you awaken, that when you're eating, when you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're talking, Baba will stay with you. And of course, Baba will take you home also. And then, that wasn't the end of the story, then Brahma Baba will come with you into your kingdom. So a lovely guarantee from Baba Dada. In fact, what struck me most was the love with which Baba spoke yesterday. So it was a Murali filled with a lot of love, but also a few cautions and warnings. So the love that Baba's come to celebrate Holi, you children have come to celebrate Holi, and you're the ones who truly know how to be with God and celebrate real Holi, the double Holi. the purification of soul and the purification of body. And through the whole of history, written, recorded history, there's never been anyone who's had pure soul and pure body. From the time recorded history began, it's always been impure bodies. And yeah, according to the drama, the Satupradhan souls of Satyug are already Rajupradhan. And then the religious founders who come, they have, of course, a level of purity that others around them don't. But it's not the same purity of the Satupradhan stage that the deities had. So neither that quality of purity of soul, nor the quality of purity of body. By then the elements are also Rajupradhan. And so the great sages and saints, you hear stories of their illnesses and their battles and all sorts of things. So Baba blessing us with double purity and the double crown, the memorial of that, through the company with God and the purification that happens with God's company. Baba also spoke about holy, ho gay. Ho gay, finish, it's gone, it's past. And absolutely vital for us today. Am I ready to let go of the past? Am I still hanging on to things from the past? And if I am, then I have to finish it now. It's interesting that Sakaro finished, Avyaktro finished. Now we don't get the same depth messages that we used to get. And Baba is saying there's still a little bit of time to catch up on everything. And so I'm grateful that there is this little space of time. But one of the things about time I'm remembering, in Sakar Murlis, Baba has often said, before the end comes and the big war begins, it'll be as if there's a lull in the drama, and it'll be as if there is peace. And when everybody's sort of half asleep, thinking everything's peaceful now, then suddenly things will change. And looking at the state of politics today, America is reaching out to Russia to make friends. And some people are thinking it's the beginning of war. But many people also feel that it's maybe a chance for peace to come. And whatever are the intentions behind those who are in those positions, yet, even if peace does come, it'll be a very temporary peace. But a year ago, you wouldn't have imagined that the two cats that have been shown on the culpa tree would be trying to be friends with each other. And somehow the drama has changed and we're seeing this scene, but we know that it's actually a signal that the final moments are very, very close. But I'm grateful we have this time. And Baba's big, big message that we have to have nothing but good wishes and pure feelings for all. And whatever it is that anybody says or does, am I going to allow my old sanskars to jump up and do something that I would regret, say something I would regret? Or am I going to be able to just keep that vision of good wishes and pure feelings? And that lesson has been coming to many Muralis all along the last few months. Good feelings, pure good wishes for all. Why? That is the urban to be able to do Mansa Seva. I spoke a lot about Mansa Seva. I remember we had a gathering of Call of Time, and we had a few people of that caliber who were our thinking partners. And we said to them, about four of them, This is the topic that's been raised by Baba. They've met Baba. They knew Baba to a certain extent. And we said, the topic that Baba's been raising this season has been Mansa Seva. And it means service through the mind, but it also means service of the mind. And so should we use a translation for this term, or should we just keep the term Mansa Seva in our dialogue? And unanimously, they all wanted us to keep the Hindi term Mansa Seva, saying that it does put across both ideas, and we know that both things will work together. Serving your own mind, and then creating a mind that has the capacity to be able to serve others. Otherwise, if I haven't served my own mind, and I haven't cleaned it out and purified it, and come to that stage where there's nothing but good wishes and pure feelings, how am I going to be able to serve anyone else? The example that Daddy always used to give us was, if you've got a glass of water, and it's got just one tiny drop of poison, would you drink it? So, even if there's one individual who I haven't forgiven, if there's one individual that I'm holding bad feelings for, if there's one individual that I can't give genuine good wishes from my heart, that's the poison. And so the mind is not going to be able to serve and be Baba's instrument in a clean way through which Baba's light and love and sakash can reach anyone else. And so the work I need to do for Mansa Seva is not just focus and concentrate. That's another part of the story. If my mind is wavering and fluctuating, how can I do Mansa Seva? I need to be able to create a steady link with God, a solid, stable state of mind in which I'm not shaken by things out there. The lesson of drama is part of that, of course, but also I need to have cleaned out everything so that my mind doesn't waver. And in that state, yes, I'm connected with Baba, and then Baba can send that light and might to all. I think we use this expression Mansa Seva too casually. It's actually a very, very elevated, powerful state that we need to practice maybe for a few minutes every day and gradually build it up so that then, yes, my link is unbroken, not shaky, not fluctuating, unwavering, and then Baba can use me as an instrument for Mansa Seva. And so Baba told us a lot about that. Whatever are the sanskars of the other, don't see those sanskars. Just remember that you have to give good wishes and have pure feelings for them. If you see their sanskars, you're going to fluctuate. Or if you see past, again, it's going to interfere. And so that stage where truly, it's not just my Baba, but it's my family. That was a very interesting comment from Baba. Easy to say my Baba, but with all the varieties of samskaras, can I say my family and embrace all the family, the whole family in my heart, whatever their situation may be, number-wise, according to drama. And just as we fixed a time for Amrit Vela, early days, they didn't have a fixed time. Early days, like I mean in Karachi. Mama used to get up at 2:30 in the morning, and they used to see Mama sit in the garden having meditation early morning. Some got up, some didn't. But then gradually, Baba started the system of early morning Amrit Vela. And then in Abu, it became a fixture. and then at the centers also. And at first people thought that it was really only for the surrendered, the dedicated people. But Baba then explained, no, it was for everyone. Everyone who wanted to benefit and move ahead, it was everyone. And so Amrit Vela together as a community began. And then the next step, I remember the year that traffic control started. Baba often used to say in the Avyakt Muralis, pause for traffic control. Baba didn't call it traffic control then. Baba said, pause during your own activity and just have a moment of silence to connect with Baba. So Baba said that for a few years. And then Baba actually said, okay, Baba's been reminding you of this. Now Baba's going to ask you to fix the time. And so then traffic control started first 5 times a day. And then later on, after Shantivan, and that was 77. I remember that because when Daddy Kumarka came abroad, well, she came to the West for the first time. She'd been in the East in 1954, but now it was 1977 and she came on a very long tour of the world. Today we wouldn't even attempt that, but in those days we didn't have so many centers. So Daddy was on a world tour. And when she came to London, her second stop, first stop was Germany, second was London. And at that time, she said to us, you don't have traffic control? And we said, well, we thought that, you know, in a center, people come and go and they might not understand. She said, all the more reason why you should have it, so that you explain to them so that they do understand. And so we started traffic control. And of course then wherever she was going, she was sharing that concept. And so we thought that, you know, Madhuban, where everybody surrendered, you can just stop and stand still and be silent, and abroad it might not work like that. But Daddy insisted it has to work, and so we started with traffic control then. So Baba was saying, fix a time for yourself when you can have meditation, especially for the world. We do that once a day, once a month for peace. But now, and Rajubhai actually, in the letter he sent to the centers in India, he's suggesting we use 6:30 to 7:30 evening meditation as a time for sharing Sakash with the world. And in particular, Baba talked about not just serving human beings, but also Prakriti, nature, the environment, and all living creatures. Being at all these environment conferences, it's something we've got into the habit of anyway, sending out Baba Sakash to nature in all its myriad forms, whether it's living creatures or whether it's all the different permutations of the elements of nature. But Baba now is saying, fix a time for yourself. And Rajubhai thinking that, well, 6:30 to 7:30, many, many people now have that, if not the full hour, then at least half an hour from 7 to 7:30. And it could be at that time. And it was very interesting, Baba saying, practice this type of Mansa Seva for nature. You will then have the power and the courage to face whatever situation comes to you. What is it I'm most afraid of? It's interesting. Some people are most afraid of fire. Some people are most afraid of being suffocated, earthquake. Some people are most scared of drowning. So we all have our own Achilles heel and what it is we're afraid of. But probably, whatever it is I'm afraid of, Murphy's Law, that's what's going to come to me. And so can I fill myself with courage and power today so that whatever it is that happens, I don't experience any suffering at that moment. If I have served nature, nature is going to serve me and help me in some form or another. Baba's guarantee. Again, Daddy used to ask us, do you give sakash to your own body? And Daddy would share that sitting here, she would take that light and might from Baba and share that light and might with the body. And that didn't stop her having illnesses. She had illnesses galore, but she never allowed it to cause her inner pain or inner suffering or complained, why is this happening, anything like that. So the power that she was getting from Baba and the blessing of having served the body cooperated. Hans has told me how she would say to Hans, people would say to Hansa, you're crazy. Why are you organizing all these programs to take Daddy here and there? She's done so much, let her rest now. But Daddy's instruction to Hansa was, I don't want to leave the body just sitting around waiting for departure to come. I want to leave the body on active service. And so age 104, she's traveled to Bangalore, she's traveled to Pune, and fascinating drama that, you know, she was there. Her last place of service where she had left India to come abroad was Pune, where she'd been for 14 years. And the last place of service in Bharat again was Pune. And she was there for about 5 days. Normally she'd go for 1 or 2 days to places, but 5 days there. So the result of having served nature, the body, and the body cooperated with letting her travel, letting her serve in the way that she did. Bangalore, it was their 50th anniversary, and there were 50,000 people at that time. And that's when Ramdev, Sri, however many titles he had, Swami Ramdev, he didn't know of a program. We didn't know he was coming there, but somebody went to meet him, told him Daddy's here. He'd met Daddy in Madhuban. So he left his program to come to this just for half an hour. And he told the gathering, Daddy is not just the Daddy, the mother of the Brahma Kumaris. She's the mother of Bharat. She's the mother of the world. And so for someone like that to say that is quite amazing. So, and it was in that last period when December, when the president of India had come and they wanted her to stop speaking. According to protocol, she had 10 minutes. She'd already spoken 15 minutes and they were getting a bit agitated and telling Hansa, tell Daddy to stop. And so Hansa tried and Daddy reached out to the president, took his hand and said, shall I stop? He said, no, 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 Daddy, I've come to hear you. And so she carried on speaking just for another 5 minutes or so. And then in his talk, he repeated the three words she had used. Sachai, Safai, Sadhgi. Sachai, honesty. Safai, cleanliness. And Sadhgi, simplicity. And he said that if Bharat were to take up these three words, we would have the formula for transformation of Bharat. He really loved those three words that she had spoken. So anyway, I'm not going to get into more Daddy stories. But when Baba said, serve matter, serve nature, so the service of this. But also, Baba saying, you want to create Satyug? Well, do you want to have the same matter be there also? And matter's not helping you. You've been violent against matter, so matter is now turning violent against you. But if you want to have matter which is pure and clean, you have to support matter today through your Mansa Seva. So Baba giving very clear explanation of why we send out Sakash and Baba's light to the whole planet, the whole globe. And the other big thing that Baba picked up on was, when you have nothing but pure feelings for each other, never mind the world out there, easy to have feelings that are pure for the world, but for each other, then you'll be dancing together. And this is the memorial also of the rosary. And yes, it's number wise, first bead, second bead, and so on, but everyone tied together in a thread of love. And so Ras is not just a single person dancing, but Ras usually means the dance in a circle. And so Baba giving us instructions for what we need to do. And really the love that Baba gave the double foreigners, Baba again reminding us of how we weren't looking, but he came looking for us and found us and made us belong to him. Absolutely true. Is that right? Who thinks that you found Baba? And who thinks that Baba found you? Definitely. So Baba acknowledging that also. But also the beautiful thank you that Baba gave, that the double foreigners have served with mind, body and wealth, and you will continue to do that further. So very beautiful Murli, filled with much, much love and many words of endearment for his children. So I'm looking at the clock and the clock is ticking and we have a conversation to have.
Thank you so much, Jayantivan, for those beautiful stories and clarification of many points of the Murli. I was wondering, because Holi is about burning first and then coloring. And also, Sri Baba was saying that burn your old sanskars, because sanskars of a long period of time continue to work. And of course, Brahmins have the layers of 63 births of sanskars. So no matter how much we work on that, sometimes some things pop up. There are two things here. One is how to recognize my own old sanskars. Sometimes it's so difficult for me to sometimes recognize my old sanskars. For others it's easy to recognize my old sanskars, but for myself, sometimes it becomes difficult to recognize my old sanskars. So how to recognize it, and what is the process to burn the sanskar quickly?
These are topics for whole class. But in summary, when there's an old sanskar, the sign for me is that it's causing me pain, it's causing me sorrow, and it's reminding me of the beautiful blessing that Baba gave yesterday. Create such a stage of pure feelings that there's no trace of sorrow even in your dreams. Mm-hmm. And when you belong to Baba and you take that joy from Baba, that sorrow is completely removed, not in your dreams, not even in your thoughts, any trace of sorrow. So take that as a blessing from Holi. But the signal that there's some scars that are not right is some sort of pain, the sorrow that I feel. A simple way to see is how when there's ego, it's very difficult for me to see it. Mm. I can't see the tail that's dangling behind me. But when there is ego, I'm not even willing to listen to seniors. But if I'm feeling distress inside because things aren't working out the way I want them to, because I'm not getting the respect, the regard that I think I deserve, so it's causing me pain inside. So that sorrow is a signal not only of ego, but also of attachment. I'm expecting a certain response from another individual, and I'm not getting it. And so that's a signal. Mm. Or if I am getting the response, I'm getting deeper and deeper into that attachment and I'm beginning to feel constrained by it and feeling the attachment pull me. I'm not able to have good yoga. Mm. So, and maybe the second signal is if there's something impacting my yoga, I'm not able to make that connection with God as I would like to. Again, I need to sort out what I need to clean. These two signals.
Yeah.
And then the burning of samskaras. The story of Holika having the blessing of never being touched by fire. So what we're doing is, we know the soul is eternal. We know that the body will burn, but the soul will never die. But I'm carrying all those samskaras and two things again. One is yoga. The first is where I learn to manage my samskaras. Where maybe there's anger, and with yoga power, with more clarity of gyan, understanding, I use the tools that Baba's given me. Put a bead in your mouth, count at least 3, 4 before you speak, even if you don't count to 10. But just that pause, little pause. So I'm learning to manage my samskaras. But while I'm just managing them, they're going to pop up again. Mm. And so this is why Baba says, no trace should remain. And in India, they don't just burn the body, they throw the ashes into the water so that they lost. So what I have to do is to make sure that it's not just management, but to keep exploring and seeing, oh, what is the one main weakness that I have? And I have to be very honest with myself, with Baba. And if I see a certain pattern of behavior repeating for myself, not somebody else's pattern of behavior, but for myself, and I see that this is the cause of pain, then I know that that seed is still there. And it's really only the fire of yoga that's going to remove the alloy and purify the soul totally. And then the second thing is, focus on doing good karma. Thoughts, words, actions, whatever it is you can do, any opportunity you have to do it, just use your resources, your talents, your skills to do whatever is possible. Because the stock of good karma will then outweigh the negative karma, and in the final analysis, it will be the good karma that I'm carrying with myself, you know, the scales. And so you keep putting more and more on this side, and so that will be the final result. But that practice of doing good karma is also then going to help change and remove the impact of old samskaras. So two things.
Thank you, Nidhivan. Towards the end, if we have some time, we will take some questions from the floor. If you would like to ask some questions, we can write it down and put it on this box. If we have time, then we'll definitely take it up. The other thing that Baba was saying yesterday was, like, God's company is the elevated color through which we color ourselves. And also Baba says that you have to color others as well. Sometimes there are impressions of others' negative actions. Even though I want to clean it sometimes, but then all of a sudden, that at least the impressions, the mild or subtle impressions are seen. So then that affects my decisions, actions, and my reaction to that person. So how am I going to remove those impressions?
Baba keeps reminding us of soul conscious vision. First, for me to be soul conscious, but secondly, to have that vision of soul for others. And so yesterday's Murali again reminding us, don't see what they've done, don't see their samskaras. Just see them as that soul who is God's child. Yeah. And Baba didn't even say see their specialities, But remember what you have to do, that you have to create good feelings. And so if I'm allowing that impression to color me, what happened to God's color? Even in the English language, in Hindi is sangha ka rang, but in English it's the same. Company colors you because it's a reality. And so can I keep Baba with me so that I'm remembering Baba's imprints on the soul? And for myself, sometimes when I see something and something from the past comes up, I have many, many sweet memories of being with Baba and translating for Baba. And Baba speaking of that soul, with the soul, I'm telling the soul, reminding the soul of the goodness that they have. Whatever has been my connection with them is another story, my karma. But I'm hearing Baba telling them something very beautiful. And so that also comes to my mind, very specific things. And so that's helpful. But generally Baba's saying that allow Baba's imprint on you so that your old sanskars don't jump out. Otherwise, that's going to then influence what you say and do. And so just see them as a soul. But more than that, yesterday Baba was saying, you mustn't let anything influence you so that your old sanskars jump. So this is why the burning of sanskars. And the other thing is that the more I allow my old sanskars to come, the more forceful they're going to be. Because they're already there, they're going to jump more and more. But if I understand that and I change that, then today when I see that person, I'm not going to think about their past or whatever the karma was, but really just see them as that pure soul.
Having that soul conscious vision would really help. Yesterday Baba was speaking about zeal and enthusiasm. And nowadays what we see is because during when the dadis were here, there was lots of zeal and enthusiasm either in service or in efforts, or dadis would fill in that energy, pump that energy into the souls. And now that I think even somewhere the zeal and enthusiasm, how to maintain, not to be dependent on anyone else, but just to be dependent on Baba and to maintain that zeal and enthusiasm and to give that zeal and enthusiasm to others as well.
You know, Baba used to say that with time, all the external supports are going to fall away. And so we are seeing how Dadi Prakashmani, Dadi Janki, Dadi Gulzar, your three main daddies, each one of them used to create that energy in us, but now it's up to each one to create that for ourselves. And there's a very interesting distinction between zeal and enthusiasm. And the example is how if you have one of the fizzy drinks, then the fizzy drink, the fizziness, after some time, it settles and there's no more fizz. And so when there's a special project or special service or special event, whatever it is, it creates that zeal for just that short time. And then the project is over, then you're exhausted, and then the soda water goes down. But the word enthusiasm has this word theo, God. It's the Greek term for God. And so if I keep Baba with me, which is what yesterday's Murli was about, make Baba your companion, keep Baba with you. And so if I keep Baba with me, then Baba's providing me with the energy and the love and the joy with which that enthusiasm remains. You know, there was a Murali recently while I was in Madhuban, and Baba was talking about sleep. Mm-hmm. And what Baba was saying is that it's not the body that says I'm tired, it's the soul that says I'm tired and I need more rest or I need more sleep. And so I think that when the soul is enthused with God's love, then, but we've seen it, when we're enthusiastic about something, even if it's short sleep, it's okay. But I'm not saying you deprive yourself of sleep, but definitely to keep that enthusiasm alive, it's God's presence with me that helps me do that.
And then we can maintain that intoxication constantly. Yesterday, Baba talked about God's children will be safe. This was the line that Baba spoke yesterday. Do you think all the Baba's children would be safe? Or which particular? There are any criteria or any qualifications? Mm-hmm. And only these people will be safe.
What safety am I looking for? I'm not looking for the safety of the body. The bodies are going to go.
Yeah.
The souls are going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But I will feel protected and safe.
Mm-hmm.
The story of the fires in Los Angeles is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because Baba's home was not touched. And regularly, every few years, the fires in Australia, we keep getting the news of how the fire nearly reached one of the retreat centers. And then stopped. It's happened regularly in the last few years that we keep getting this story. Robin and Robin's property, Tamerson, was telling me, we were traveling together so there was time for stories, and she was telling me that there have been so many times the fires have come very close to their property, a big retreat place, and then the wind changes direction. And the property is safe. Mm-hmm. So even on an external level, I think it's a question of just my faith and my love.
Mm-hmm.
That Baba is going to protect me for however long I need to keep this body and I need to keep the place. And beyond that, we're all going to go home anyway.
And also, it's not only safety from the... It's of course physical safety, but I think safety from Maya as well.
Yes.
That's the other level of safety, yes, that we need.
Definitely.
Baba was asking, telling yesterday that children of God has to support, become the support for sorrowful souls. Sometimes those souls who are in sorrow, even if we want to support them, they don't have the capacity to take that support. They are not in the space to listen, imbibe. So how are we going to support them? Like,
I think our feelings of God's love reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And our words don't work usually, but they can feel your support on a spiritual level, on an emotional level too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it may be offering physical help, like bringing them Brahma Bhojan. So that will reach them when they're not finding anyone there to comfort them or help them. So you have to find a way to reach them, whether it's just by your pure feelings of God's love, whether it's by giving them company, giving them time, spending time with them, whether it's by bringing them some food, because maybe they're not in the condition to cook for themselves and there's nobody else around. So there's different physical ways that you can help them, but most of all, through your good wishes and good feelings.
Because we have seen in many of the centers and the otherwise as well, whenever they have any problems, then they remember the brothers and sisters. Otherwise, you know, like, it's like that. And they want us to help them, like a magic, you know, just do something and all the sorrow is taken off. Like, so then it becomes a bit of a difficult thing. So, because we are not magicians to just say, okay, chum, and then.
I think if I keep Baba with me, when I see somebody in sorrow, then they feel another energy, and that also then is support for them.
One of the things that Baba said yesterday was, not worried about what will happen, but best will happen in the future. Whatever will happen, best will happen in the future. But sometimes people have that doubt looking at the situations. Maybe there is shaking, their faith is shaking, or maybe the situations are like that, so they are not able to commit so much. So how to maintain this state of mind, not to be worried, yes, Baba is there, whatever is going to happen is very good.
On a personal level, if I've done good karma, I've sown seeds of good karma, then I know that the result of good karma is going to be happiness and joy. When it's a situation that's collective and it's something that's impacting the whole community, and I see things going wrong, then my understanding today is that maybe it won't be immediately that I'll see something good happen. Maybe there'll be a shake-up. And through the shake-up, then we'll also be able to see who are the ones who have faith and who are the ones who don't. And I have to make sure I have my own faith sorted out and strong and deep, that it's not going to shake when things get into a state of upheaval. But sometimes it needs a shake-up, and then things settle and the best will happen. So am I ready for a shake-up?
If I'm not ready,
it's going to be a good test for me, and I'm going to see very clearly that I'm not ready. And so that's also then a signal for me to decide what it is I need to do.
Yeah. So we have to deepen that faith in Baba. And
Baba, and that this is Baba's work. Okay. That Satyuga is going to come. Whether there's upheaval or everything goes smoothly, I don't know. But definitely, Satyuga is going to come.
Yes.
So I have to keep Baba, and what is the purpose of Baba's work? My purification, purification of the world. So maybe that upheaval is also just simply for the purification.
Oh, okay. Upheaval is for the purification. There's a question here. Is there any guidelines for family care and for centers, departments and the centers? Is it?
Yeah.
How to take care of those Brahmins who are in the family care or senior homes who are not in the center? Not able to come to the center.
The whole Brahmin family, except seeing the young ones now from Russia, I was very happy. But most centers now don't have so many young ones come anymore. And so yes, it is a case that we're all thinking about, I think, every continent, America, Australia, Europe, we're all thinking about the same thing. What is it we can do to provide care for those aging Brahmins? And in England, many, many of the older Brahmins are now in care homes. Their Lokic families are not able to support them, not able to care for them. And where it's a Brahmin family even, with two people who are working full time and trying to manage their yogic life and so on, then to have an old person alone at home is not very good. They're vulnerable in many ways. So then again, they've put a parent into a care home. So there may come a moment, soon, late, I don't know when, Daddy has wanted a senior citizen's home in the UK right from many years ago, but it, for many reasons it hasn't happened. Maybe that will be the next step in some places. But meanwhile, where there's anyone who's unwell, and you know that it's not a sort of an extended period of time forever, with an old person it's forever in a sense, that when it's somebody who's unwell, there's a very good system that we have in the UK where families or the spiritual family takes care of that person in hospital, where they take them food. It's not necessarily the centre, it's sometimes families who do that for each other also. So just that awareness, every country should have a well-being team that you can reach out to and seek guidance from. And we have somebody who knows about the worldwide well-being team. And maybe you can meet with Brother later, Sarah. There may be other people here from the International Wellbeing Team. Anyone else? Okay, so connect with Sarah and find out. But yes, it's something everybody's looking at.
They have to compromise with the food.
Yes, in some cases they've had to compromise at this point, where then what they do is have things that are simple, like cereals, things like this that aren't cooked as such, and have steamed food. You've heard in the Sakar Muralis, Baba saying that where there isn't a situation where you can cook for yourself, whether it's the police or the military, things like this, it's okay. You eat the food that is basic, so that it's not fancy anything, but just basic rice, basic steamed vegetables, and just give it drishti. So this is why Sakar Baba spoke about this, because there were situations then when people couldn't have sattvic food cooked by Brahmins. So that applies even today.
One last question. Looking at the situation now in the world, because 2025, there are a lot of predictions what's going to happen. So what is that one thing that we need as Brahmins, as Baba's children, no matter what will happen during the year, so what is it that we need to pay attention to?
The quality of my thinking, the thoughts. Yesterday Baba spoke about that. In fact, it's come up many, many times. But I think if I'm paying attention to the quality of my thinking, that's going to make a big difference. Mm-hmm. Here's something happening in front of me. Am I getting scared? Am I getting upset? But no. Am I able to be so conscious? Am I able to be with Baba? Am I able to see benefit in that situation? Mm-hmm. So to keep checking what's going on in here.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you for your question.
We will thank gentlemen with, you can clap.
Thank you.